Welcome to a podcast for Redefined Sisters. We are a discipling community of women flourishing in faith and redefined by the gospel. Our deepest desire is to equip women to be deeply rooted in the Word of God and live in community with one another.
She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Welcome back to our podcast. It's been a bit and we apologize, but in other news to celebrate, our founder and my other normal co-host, Emily Hessen, has had her sweet baby boy last week. So let us all congratulate her and keep her and her family in our prayers as they make this transition from one to two children and with her healing postpartum. But as always, we have a fun question, and I have Heather with us today. So Heather, what is your favorite comfort fall food?
Ooh, I love soup. Butternut squash soup and potato leek soup are like my favorites, especially with a side of like fresh sourdough bread. Mwah! Oh, so good.
I feel like any soup with fresh sourdough bread is just exquisite. Sourdough bread makes everything taste better.
It really does. It really does.
I'll have to bake you a loaf sometime if you ever come down here or if I go up there.
Yeah, no, definitely. We'll definitely have to get together sometime soon.
Well, for me personally, I absolutely love my great grandmother's homemade chicken and noodles. It is hands down my favorite meal to make when the weather is cooling off. But since we have a quite smaller kitchen now than what our last one was, I don't really have the room to make the noodles anymore. So it makes me really sad. But it was, oh my goodness, it was my favorite. I grew up eating it. And then my mom gave me the recipe. So it's just been a fun thing to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with chicken and noodles, though. Like, that's like a staple.
It is a staple. It used to be our staple, like, years ago when we first, like, started living together and stuff. I would make it all the time because it's cheap.
Yep. Yep. Ugh, it goes so long. And it's great for your health, too. Like, having all the broth for your gut, it's so good.
Yes. I actually made a beef stew last night with beef bone broth. I use bone broth for all my recipes. So it just, it's so good.
Have you made your own beef broth?
I need to because I actually have neck bones in my freezer, I believe.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it would be perfect.
I've only made chicken broth from scratch, and it was definitely, you know, you keep all the bones and everything when you buy like a whole chicken, and then you just, you know, make some broth, and it was so good. But sometimes the convenience of buying bone broth is much easier than making.
Yeah, that's usually where I go with three kids because I'm like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah. Such is life, though. That's what I say. Say love, eh? That's the way life goes.
Yes. Well, pour a cup of coffee or tea, grab your journal, and join us for a special conversation. I, Jordan, will be your host, joined by my dear friend, Heather.
Hi.
She is one of our leaders here at Redefined Sisters. We are thankful for you and your gracious support of this ministry and podcast. So thank you for tuning in, ladies.
We wanted to take a few moments to let you know that we have some new apparel and accessories in our store. And because we love you guys so much, we're giving you a special discount as part of our membership. Use code FALL10 in all caps at checkout as a huge thank you from us to you. Let's jump into the conversation today.
So in today's episode, we are reading from the CSB and the ESV. We are taking a break from discussing rhythms, and we have prayerfully considered discussing a huge topic that will be truly helpful as we are walking in this crazy season, sin. Sin is something that we all struggle with, and walking with Jesus or not, to be honest, We live in a broken and fallen world, and all types of sin are in every direction that we turn and look. But with the power of Christ, our sins are washed clean due to his grace.
Hallelujah.
Yes, and that is the power of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, we are actually going to read Genesis 3 because that is where sin has entered our world. And I think it's a great place to start, honestly, if we are having this conversation.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself,' he said. He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' And then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and in pain when you bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth of you for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life."
Whew.
Yeah, that's a chapter.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So much good.
There is. Oh my goodness. I feel like when we get to heaven, I feel like that's going to be the first thing I ask is like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you think a snake was good to listen to?
Come on, Eve.
They're not that friendly looking.
But you know, it's things of this world. We'll kind of go into that, right?
Yeah, and that's what's crazy about it is, especially like, I hate to say it in this way, but I mean, we are in deep in election season, everybody. And yeah. We are seeing so much sin and lies spread like wildfire, and it's absolutely crazy.
Yep.
And that's the easiest way to put it to make people understand, because so many people are more deep into everything going on with the elections, whether you're on social media or not, you've seen it on the news or somewhere. Someone has gossiped about it.
Gossip.
That's the best way to put it, is gossip.
That's a good way to describe it, for sure.
Yes. So it's all around us, and everything that was said within that, even though it is leading up to discussing Jesus, it is amazing to see just the description of like a serpent being able to deceive both of them in the easiest way in this beautiful place. And
what the desires.
Yes. And we see that now wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What is sin? So the easiest way I can say this is missing the mark. So think of it kind of as, my personal favorite would be Legolas from Lord of the Rings. That man will never miss his mark. But if he did, that would be it.
Yeah, I mean, any archer, you know, you're shooting and you miss the bullseye, right? Like,
yeah.
Sin is missing the mark.
Yes.
In Hebrew, it's chata, and Greek word for sin would be hamartia.
Love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's they simply mean, you know, chata is kind of like, you know, in the Old Testament and in the Hebrew, it talks about missing the mark. And in the New Testament, we have in 1 John, it talks about, is it 1 John or is it Matthew? I think it's Matthew. And it talks about, you know, sin and missing the mark. So then we have, so in Galatians, we have like, it's literally written out for us, what is the types of sins we can, you know, we can commit, right? So let's turn to Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And we, like, some of the most common we have is homosexuality, greed, adultery, lust, abortion, using God's name in vain. You know, kind of like, as we said, they're all like most of the sins that we commit, myself included, are fleshly desires that come from like our pride and our selfishness. And that's also seen in 1 John 2:16. You know, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And we see that back, if we go back to Genesis with Eve in the garden, right? Like her eyes, her desires of the flesh, and, you know, thinking that, oh, she could do no wrong, right? But here's the thing, you know, everyone has fallen short of the glory of God except for Jesus. And that's stated in Romans 3:23.
Yes, you are so right. It is incredible that how just that one chapter of Genesis, it completely shows us like everything going on within our world, whether it was 30 years ago or now.
Right.
When it comes to sin, that is how sin entered the world. And it's from our flesh. Like, and we don't like to admit that because we like to believe that we are perfect and great and wonderful people, but we
all do no wrong.
Yeah. Like, but in all honesty, we still very much struggle.
Yeah. We fall short all the time.
All the time. And even us doing this podcast, yeah, we fall so much that Honestly, we are just like everyone else. We have fleshly desires and we make mistakes as well. We're not perfect.
Nope. Nope. You know, and this is something that says in Genesis 4:7 when, talking about Cain and Abel, it's Genesis 4:7 says, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. And by surrendering ourselves and accepting Lord as, you know, our savior and confessing our sins, that is something that we can try to best of our ability, because we can't do it on our own. We can only do it with the strength of God to be better and to try to not sin, you know, because a lot of like sin doesn't just affect us. Like if I'm angry at my husband, you know, it's not just me, right? It's not just me that's sinning, right? It's now affecting him and like what's going on in his life. And if we give in to our fleshly desires or let our emotions rule us, it affects the consequences of all of my behaviors or your behaviors, can lead to shattered relationships, suffering, cycles of retaliation, resentment. And those are just things that we don't want in our lives, because we want to live like Christ and follow Christ and be the light and the salt of the earth. In Joshua 7, when Israel is defeated at Ai, so here's kind of like an example of sometimes how we think, you know, are we let our pride and our ego kind of get the best of us. You know, Achan was a soldier at the tribe of Judah. So this is right after Jericho was defeated. So Achan, a soldier from the tribe of Judah, stole some items from Jericho that were devoted to God. And God had warned the Israelites that they would be devoted to destruction if they stole anything that was devoted to him. So the Israelites try to go and battle Ai, which is, you know, they think that the Israelites, they have more troops, more power. They think this is going to be an easy battle. So they don't even send all their soldiers up there. And they end up losing the battle. And God told Joshua that Israel lost because God was angry. So then, of course, Joshua decides to assemble the Israelites by tribe, clan, and household to try and find a guilty party. And God had revealed to Joshua that Achan was the culprit. And he's the one who stole the devoted items to God. And he let his pride and his ego get in the way, and it ended up affecting all of the Israelites. And this is a good example of how our sins not only affect our relationship with God, but also our family and our friends around us. The great thing is, in Psalm 23:1-5, it says that God forgives our transgressions. Like, how amazing is that? How amazing is it that even though we sin, God forgives us? That is just a huge blessing to hear. And it's just something that, I mean, it doesn't excuse the fact that we can sin. You know, it doesn't excuse if you know that you are sinning and in your heart you get that conviction, right? We need to be in prayer with God. We need to be in prayer and we need to confess our sins.
I think even just being able to get that conviction in itself is a huge blessing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That is God telling us straight up, like, you are doing something wrong that does not glorify me, and we need to make a change.
Yeah. And if we aren't obedient to it, right, he's going to get angry. And
oh, yeah.
I don't want to deal with the wrath of God. You saw what he just did.
No, I'm good.
And Israelites and Jephthah.
I will tell you, my greatest fear, like, I am a girl that is terrified of, like, airplanes and deep water. Like, I don't want to go in the ocean. I don't know what's in there. But even bigger of a fear than that is the day that I die, having Jesus look at me and say, I never knew you.
Right.
Because I was too prideful to listen to the convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, I'm good.
No, thanks. I'm going to be obedient to God. If I get convictions, I'm going to be obedient.
Yes. Yes. And I can tell you from someone who has, like, listened to the convictions, and then there's times to where I straight up ignored them. And you can completely see, it's almost like two different people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because we're giving the enemy a foothold into our lives, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you're going to ignore him? Okay, I'm going to hop in here, right? They're crouching at your door.
Yeah, it full on just opens doors, windows, everything.
Yes. Yeah, sin is crouching at your door. So we need to be obedient to God.
Yes.
Yep.
So ladies, we are going to go over a couple different verses. They are going to discuss sin specifically, like specific types of sin, and you can link these to however, like, whatever your heart is telling you that this is about, that is a conviction for you. Because everyone's going to get convicted on something. So we are in the book of Exodus.
And it's a good thing.
We love being convicted over here. We love it. Because that is the only way we're going to grow, is if we are convicted.
That's right.
So we are in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13. And it says, do not murder. I'm going to say that is going to be, do not murder within your heart. Do not murder an unborn baby. Do not murder another person. That goes across the board.
Yes.
Because we like babies. We don't do that.
We like people. They're God's children. All people are God's children, right?
All. Yes.
So we want to love each other. We don't want to harm each other.
Exactly. So next we are going to go to the book of Matthew. Jesus is going to be speaking here, and we are going to read verses 21 through 26, chapter 5, if I did not say that. You have heard that it was said to our ancestors, do not murder, and whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be subject to the court. Whoever says, you fool, will be subject to hellfire. So if you are offering your gift on the altar, in there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Reach a settlement quickly with your adversary while you are on the way with him to the court, or your adversary will hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny.
I put part of this in my wedding vows because it's so important, if you are angry with somebody, to bring it to them and hear their side, right? You want to be able to hear their side and come to an understanding with each other to move past it. Like, the quicker you do it, and the more you do it, it's going to grow your relationship closer together. You're going to become closer because of it.
Absolutely.
You don't want to let anger, you know, get a foothold in your life, because that's going to build resentment, and resentment is going to tear apart relationships rather than build them up.
Yep. And like anger does have its time and place, and it's okay to be angry at times because we're human. We will have times where we do get angry. But the biggest thing to remember, have a deep conversation about it and learn to forgive one another. Mm-hmm. And whether if you don't need to even be friends anymore, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be friends with the person, but you have to forgive them.
You have to, forgiveness is, unforgiveness is what I would say is giving the enemy a foothold in your life.
Oh, huge.
Any unforgiveness in your heart, that includes parents and siblings and friends and exes and, you know, I mean, even people in church that you spend time with regularly, anything that you don't let out in the open, pray to God about first and allow God to give you, you know, discernment and wisdom in those situations to help you to resolve that unforgiveness.
Yes. So we are going to turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 22. You are not to sleep with a man. As with a woman, it is detestable.
Mm-hmm. I'm still turning to Leviticus 18.
No, you're good. It definitely is going over a couple different, like, sexual sins, because it mentions animals right after that. But I feel like within our culture now, it is trying to become very normalized.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
For sure. It's a normal part of this world. I mean, you're also talking about, like, homosexuality.
Yep, that's pretty much, and that is what it's pointing at, is women don't need to sleep with women, and men don't need to sleep with men.
Right. That's hands not how God down, created us to be.
Yeah.
He created men and women to support each other, and men be the leader, and the women be the rib, the ish, you know, we're the supporters.
Yeah, we are their helpers, and both have a beautiful role within a marriage. Right. It's not just women needing to be, like, they don't need to just serve their man, because the men are also commanded to love their woman unconditionally.
Like the church, like Jesus loved the church. So it is very much important, very much important that we keep those commands that, you know, God had given us.
Yes. So next, we are going to turn to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 7. Likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns committed sexual immorality and perversions, and serve as an example by undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Next, we are going to turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters and adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. Yeah. And then we are going to stay in 1 Corinthians and hop over to chapter 7, verse 2. But because sexual immorality is so common, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman should have sexual relations with her own husband. I mean, it says it right there, people. So if you have a problem with it, you take it up with the Bible.
Take it up with God.
Yep. I mean, that's his word. He's
going to convict you. Yeah.
I hope he convicts you, because that's a big... So in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is to be honored by all and the marriage bed kept undefiled because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 13, verse 27, it says, your adulteries and your lustful name, your depraved prostitution on the hills and in the fields, I have seen your abhorrent acts. Woe to you, Jerusalem, you are unclean. For how long yet? And in Matthew 19, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexually immorality and marries another commits adultery. I think there's going to be a lot more people that have something to say about that, because divorce is also a big
thing in this world.
Oh yeah.
It's easily acceptable. But I mean, there are some biblical principles that allow you to leave, but
exactly. There's always going to be something underlying.
Even if you remarry, you are still sinning. Like, yes. You are still, it's still technically considered infidelity.
Yes, it is still considered infidelity. And so for the last one, we're going to be in the book of Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. For example, a married woman is legally bound to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law regarding the husband. So if she is married to another man while her husband is living, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. Then if she is married to another man, she is not an adulteress.
Mm-hmm.
And Heather, I believe you have a couple practical tools for us.
Yes, yes. So some practical tools. 1 John 1:19. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all we have to do is confess our sins to God. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Jesus gives us the perfect example of forgiveness. While in agony on the cross, Jesus called out, exclaiming, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Miss Luke, Matthew, Mark, you know, right when Jesus, right before he dies, he calls out. Constantly being open in prayer with God. I mean, God already knows. Like, you can't hide anything from him, so you might as well talk to him about it, you know? So just pray and be like, God, like, I made this mistake. I need your help. I need to do better. I mean, this is a prayer that I pray. I'm constantly praying it, not in vain, but like truly asking God to help me. And you can ask my husband. He's seen, you know, the constant prayer, like the change that God is doing in me. So it is so important to be constantly in prayer with God and being open with God and being vulnerable. And, you know, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, he's given us a new identity in him. And we are just to follow his commands and follow his own example on how to live the life that God wants us to live. You know, and for each of us, that looks different. God has given us each different gifts and different, he has different paths for us and different purposes for each and every single one of us.
Thank you for listening. To continue the conversation with us, join our free membership community at www.facebook.com/groups/redefinedsisters. We cannot wait to connect with you.